My guests in the studio with me today, Paige Sarda. She's Executive Director of Reach Literacy. Paige, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's time for the brouhaha.
It is time for the brouhaha. It's only Monday, but we're talking about beer.
All right. Monday is the perfect time to talk about stories and beer. We also have with us Sarah Werner. She hosts the Right Now podcast and a new podcast called Girl in Space. Sarah, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I want to hear a little bit about Girl in Space, please, because this is fiction, right?
It is.
This is a different kind of podcast than many people have heard of.
It is. It's an audio drama. Oh, you're so nice to fix my mic. It's an audio drama, which means that it's a fictional podcast, like you said. It has a full cast. It has sound effects. It has music. It has everything sort of that you're looking for in a movie for your ears.
Yes.
It's a sci-fi mystery adventure. It takes place in space, as the title sort of leads you to believe. And it explores sort of what makes us human, what makes us, if we're alone in space, does it still mean that we can have meaningful relationships? What does that mean for our humanity? What does it mean to be in a new space together or alone with other people or without them? So
you write it, you produce it, and you launch it.
I do. I act in it. I do the editing. It's a little overwhelming.
Yeah. Why fiction? Why go that route?
Is this
a new thing that's just sort of gaining steam, or has it been around for a while and I just haven't heard of it yet?
Kind of both. People think of the War in the Worlds.
Sure.
War of the Worlds, excuse me. H.G. Wells, like the sort of inaugural audio drama, died for a while because of television, but now it's coming back. It's coming back in a big way because people want to listen to stories wherever they are. They want to be sort of unlimited in where they get their stories. And so podcasts, fictional podcasts, provide a great way for that to happen. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, we're in this beautiful resurgence right now. Most of the stuff out there is indie. But networks are starting to notice. Lawrence Fishburne just launched his own show. Julia Roberts is in Homecoming. So there's a lot of new ones out there.
It's a great time to be working in the creative arts.
It absolutely
The door is.
Is
open for a whole bunch of, maybe it's a hard time to get noticed, but it's a great time to be doing whatever it is that you want to be doing.
Absolutely.
Excellent. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But Brouhaha, Paige, March 22nd. 5:30, Museum for Visual Materials. Give us an overview for those who don't recall about what the event is, and then we'll talk about Reach Literacy and really what the event is benefiting.
Sure, you bet. Brouhaha itself is a fundraiser for Reach, like you said, and we do one fundraiser a year. This really kind of helps cement our ability to support Reach. It's a storytelling event, and anytime you tell stories, it always seems to go better when you have a little bit of alcohol behind that or a beer. So we have a beer tasting as well. Remedy will be our beer sponsor this year, so we'll have a kind of a nice selection from them to be able to taste and try. But really, the idea for that brouhaha came about is that most of the people that we work with at Reach, the only way they're communicating is oral, mm-hmm. and everything they do, it becomes a story. And all these people sat in front of me and told me all these amazing stories about, you know, kind of survival. And I thought we should have a storytelling event and really offer people the opportunity to be able to tell their own story in whatever capacity that is.
So we're pretty excited about the Moth Radio Hour coming to South Dakota in what?
April.
April, thank you. And this is sort of a mini version of that in the sense that people get together and they have a story. They prepare them and they get up and share their stories.
Yeah, and storytelling's hard. I mean, if it can be intimidating. You know, you think you can tell a great story and you get up there and you might draw blank. So we do let people prepare a little bit. It's 5 to 7 minutes and, you know, it doesn't have to be anything traumatic in your life or super eventful. It's just, can you tell us a slice of your life, you know? And this year's theme's travel. We moved into a new space in December, so we really wanted to kind of focus on that, you know, tell us about a great time that you had traveling, something really awful that happened. Maybe you had a really terrible airline flight, you know, can't just be bad turbulence, but.
Right. Tell me a little bit about the new space then.
It's great. I mean, I am not opposed to free because that's what we had before, you know, with our bookstore. And that was amazing to be able to, you know, allow us 2 years to grow our business, to really be able to open this new space. But it's such a light and airy space when you walk in. It's really, I don't know, everybody says the same thing. This is amazing when they walk in. It feels really light. It feels really wonderful when you walk in. There's so many books. There's so much color. We really like the idea that we can use it as an event space as well. We had kind of a murder mystery podcast, kind of a spinoff from a podcast, My Favorite Murder, and that was really well attended. And so it's been really nice just to see you know, the reaction to that for people who really want that experience.
And this is all about adult literacy. So yep. This is helping people learn how to read, get that next step in their lives. Mm-hmm. The bookstore is a used bookstore. Tell us a little bit about that space and how, you know, people can donate or shop there.
Right. I think the one thing that I always wanted to have when I first came to Reach was that we didn't have a lot of community involvement. And it's great that you want people to be involved, but if the only way for you to be involved is by tutoring, that's a pretty small category of people that are going to do that. The bookstore really came about as a way for us to engage the community in a broader sense, be able to donate books, be able to volunteer inside the bookstore, to be able to come in and look at this, and gives us an opportunity to then turn around and tell you our story about that we're teaching adults to read, that all the proceeds from the bookstore go back to support our mission, which is adult literacy.
Yeah. Yeah, where is it at again?
We're over at the Western Mall on the south side between Shields and the movie theater.
Nice.
I know, it's exciting.
All right, so who's on the docket to tell stories at this week's Brouhaha Thursday night?
Sarah obviously is on our docket, so we're super excited about that. And then Thea Miller-Ryan, she's going to come. She's going to talk about when Bill Janklow taught her how to drive, so I'm kind of interested in hearing about that. Dan Bublitz, who's a comedian, kind of an up-and-coming comedian, he also does a lot of work with SuperCon, and they are a big supporter of ours, so we're excited about that. And then we also have Ashley Thompson, who is going to talk about a time when she spent some time in France.
Mm. Sarah, give me just a hint about your story, because we don't want you to blow the whole story here, because people are going to show up for the brouhaha, but what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about how traveling influences us as writers, as people, as how it changes us and how it changes our stories. So I'm kind of taking a little bit of a broader view. It'll be less of a specific story, but more about how it changes us, which is important.
Do you have extensive travel experience?
I didn't until I started podcasting, which is like completely, completely weird. So recently,
explain that. Tell me more.
So I didn't really travel until I worked several years at Clickrain and did my first sort of global mission trip through them. I went to a deaf village in Jamaica. Sometimes people think I say death village. It's a deaf village. Mm-hmm. For, you know, hearing impaired folks. And I started traveling that there. And then when I really got into my podcast, I started going to all these conferences and events, and it really like opened up my world. And so storytelling and travel for me are very, very tightly linked. And that's a little bit of what I'm going to be talking
Interesting.
About.
How do you prepare to tell a story in front of, you know, a crowd?
This is going to sound really stupid. I close my eyes, I smile, I remember who I am, and I share my story.
Yeah, nice. Paige, you've had these events before. You've had people come in and share some, compelling stories, funny stories. Well, what's the audience like? What's sort of the ambiance? How does the group of people kind of interact and change through that process?
We've been asked to move to a larger space, but we really like that kind of intimate Museum of Visual Materials. It's small. We only have about 160 people really that come. And so as a storyteller, you're right up front and with your audience. And it's really one of the things, the feedback that we get from our storytellers is that they like that engagement with the audience, that they're right there with them. And then when storytellers are done, quite frequently audience members get up and then want to go talk to them again about, you know, expand that, tell me some more about it. You know, and I think that's the part I really enjoy, is that you get to have this broader sense of you're not just a little puppet that we put up there, that the people really want to engage with you on a personal level too.
Yeah.
And I think that's the part for me that I really like.
And you can take that away too. And with the moth and with the storytelling event and with podcasting, Sarah, it people are wanting to have more conversations and are becoming better listeners, I think. Don't you? What are your thoughts on that, Sarah?
I absolutely love that. You know, there's this sort of weird period. So there's people who say, oh, the internet is making society worse. All we're doing is shouting into a void in Facebook. You know, we're shouting and we're not listening. But I think that it's sort of highlighted a need for us to listen to each other and to connect and have eye contact like we're having right now. And so I love this event. Like Paige said, the act of storytelling really Vulnerability is such a popular word right now. It allows us to become vulnerable. There's nothing really more vulnerable, well, maybe there is, but standing up in front of 100 people or more and sharing a very intimate moment of your life from your perspective, it's a really beautiful thing. So, yeah.
Tell me about podcasting and a little bit more about the Right Now podcast and how you're kind of helping people, who maybe want to engage a little bit more in writing and telling their story and are just getting to it. I mean, you have experienced writers and new writers who listen to the program.
I do, and I like to feature both as well. The show started out with just me talking about my experience writing, so once a week I would sit down and tell a story of this one time I had trouble letting go. You know, perfectionism is a very real issue, or how do you get ideas? How do you become more creative in your daily life? What does that mean to live more creatively? So I explore those through storytelling. I also like to highlight stories from people who are both, like you said, published and maybe on the more amateur side, because just because you're published doesn't mean that your story is more important. And just because you're an amateur doesn't mean your story is less important. So I like to make sure that everyone has a chance to share.
Yeah. How do you find people? Who are you looking for to interview and to feature on the program?
The more diverse spectrum of people from the most unique life situations, the better. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound kind of weird, but I've never gone out and searched for people. I just get people who come to me. Yeah. I don't know. That sounds like a humble brag, but it's been really, really cool. A lot of them are listeners who listen to the show and say, "Hey, can you feature me?" And I'm always like, "Sure, I would love to feature you. Your story is important."
And then how do you get ready for that?
Let's see. We set up a Skype call. We say, "Hey, how are you doing?" We break the ice a little bit, and then I like to keep conversations sort of like this, very casual, back and forth. A lot of people on the show have never been interviewed before, and so I just say, we're gonna have a cool conversation about writing, which is the thing that we both love. We're gonna tell a story together, and it's going to be really cool.
It's a generous thing. I've come to sort of experience over my work on this show. Going out to the Black Hills last week and visiting, that someone getting up and telling you their story is an act of vulnerability, but it's also an act of generosity. And likewise, someone coming in here like you guys did, you sit down and we've no idea. I mean, you have a general framework of what we're going to talk about, and to be open to that. I think that I'm endlessly grateful for the guests that come to this program. You feel the same way, don't you?
I do. Yeah, listeners give a gift too. Listening is one of the best gifts we can give each other as well. So listening is so important.
Paige, I want to talk about tutoring a little bit because, and if you're just tuning in, Paige Sarda is Executive Director of Reach Literacy. Brouhaha is March 22nd at 5:30 at the Museum for Visual Materials, and it's a fundraiser, beer tasting, storytelling, food.
That's right.
But give me an idea about the people who are interested in tutoring and helping an adult learn to read. Where do you find those people, and what's their commitment like?
It's tough. I think the idea is that almost everybody who wants our services, I mean, that's what they want. And it's just like, I always say it's like dieting, right? So Monday you're like, I'm totally going to diet. I'm doing this. And then by Wednesday you have a donut, you know? And it's the same thing with people wanting to learn to read. It's hard. Learning to read's hard as an adult. I mean, if I had to learn a second language right now, I might really be interested in it, but my commitment may wane with kids and family and jobs and everything else. And so we really thought about that over the last 2 years. And so one of the things that we've done is really tried to put ourselves in front of people so that we take a few of those barriers out. So, for example, we were starting to tutor at apartment complexes. Mm. So you either can come and see us before you go to work or after you come home. So it's one less thing. I don't have to leave again to go somewhere else. Because if you're like me, when you get home, I'm objects at rest tend to stay at rest. That's me. So, and then we are tutoring on-site at businesses as well. So we tutor on-site at workplace. And so the business will pay for you to tutor with us during that time. Mm-hmm. And it's just, so it's just one. And plus, we're building a community of people who care about you. It's great to have individual tutoring, but we're really finding that having that support and having other people like, are you coming to tutoring? Are you going to come? Make sure you come. And that there's people that are interested in your success as well. That's been really helpful.
So there's a group, a class, kind of individual tutoring,
yeah,
a little
so
bit
we
of both.
Do, yeah, we do the it's a group, but we try to keep them small, about six, no more than nine, and then we have anywhere from two to three tutors. So you're really doing maybe two people, with a tutor. So it still stays that really intimate, and you really get good. So we don't get just head nodding like, yeah, I understand that kind of thing. that the biggest challenge we face is people finding us. Because if you don't know how to read and you don't know how to write, and your network of people is really small, unless they know who we are. So that's always why we're trying to be in your way. And if we can engage the apartment complex people to be like, hey, will you put our flyers out to your 500 unit complex, you know, right, and get them to over to at least see us. And then once people do that, so we have a beginning, kind of a beginning English that we run everybody through, and just to sort of feel you out. What's your commitment? What do you think? Do you like it? You know, and just to get you used to the idea, because maybe you've never been into class, or maybe you've never been to school, or you did and it was hard, or you thought you had a bad experience. Can we at least get you interested and get you kind of warmed up to the idea that it's not as scary as you thought it might be?
Right. Yeah. Mostly English language learners or adults who just didn't do well in school?
Right. Right now, we work with a lot of English as a second language. I know that there's a lot of adults out there that probably got to maybe middle school or 10th grade and then dropped out, or maybe they graduated but still have a really low level. We're working on a program right now, hoping to be kind of rolling that out in the fall, where we really address those people who are maybe lower skilled than they want to be, but our English is their primary language, and they just need more help to be, to get, you know, I want to advance in a job, or I want to maybe go to school, or I want something else, but I need a better skill set. Right. And so we're really looking at that. Like, we'd like to do a math boot camp here in the spring. I don't know. I mean, I don't, yeah. Your kiddo's super smart, but like, if my kids come to me and want algebra help, I'm like, yeah, I'm out. I got nothing for you right now.
Well, so. It's taught differently now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So, I mean, right about, I don't know, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth grade for sure.
Right.
You know, the parents are not, I mean, you could maybe learn it.
Right.
But it's not going to be taught the same way that you learned it. We memorized multiplication tables.
Right.
That's not valuable anymore.
No. And we really, like, so we know that there's, like, construction math, you know. Yeah. And so there's a lot of folks that might want to work construction but can't pass a remedial test to do construction math. Well, if we could help with that, that's still literacy-based. You're still reading. You still have to be able to, you know, do blueprints and all the other things. So if we could help with that, or even if we could do basic counting money so that you could get a job in retail and be able to do some of that.
Success stories. You must see some pretty great transformations.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, sometimes we run into people who, you know, I have a friend, Nancy, who's been working with her learner for about 4 years now. And, you know, it didn't take us very long to figure out that her adult learner has some real huge issues, you know, that prevent her from being a better, you know, a better student or a better learner. But, you know, without Nancy's help, she wouldn't even be able to read, didn't know the alphabet, could do none of that. And, you know, at this point, even 4 years later, she has a job, she's got her driver's license, you know, she's helping, she's able to communicate with the school, she's able to read and write. I mean, just, you know, she'll never be, you know, a nuclear physicist, but she's really happy with her success at this point, you know, and her skill level was pretty low, and I think that's great. It's not like she went out and got her GED, but for her, that was her, that's her goal, and she met that.
You can register your kid online.
Yeah.
Now, and that is a huge thing to be able to do, because there's so much of it in our day and age. Yeah.
You know, and when you look at, you know, 2/3 of the population of women, you know, in the world that are uneducated or can't go to school, and she falls into one of those categories, you know, that's really pretty near and dear to my heart, that, you know, we see a lot of women that was never an opportunity for them. So we're always like, come on in, bring you into the fold.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah, you're seeing this with writing too, just overcome it. People get in jobs probably as well, that not only they want to express themselves, but just sometimes you just want to survive. And you might be terrified of your spelling, or you might be terrified of how you put a sentence together. So big steps.
Big steps, absolutely big steps. A lot of people think they need permission.
Right.
They feel like they're not allowed to write, or because they didn't get in on the ground level, they've missed the boat or what have you. So, yeah.
But in the meantime, listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
You don't have to be terribly literate, but then that can help on the journey as well.
Ooh, absolutely.
All kinds of stuff. All right. Brouhaha. It's March 22nd, 5:30 to 8:30, Museum for Visual Materials in Sioux Falls. It helps benefits reach literacy. Beer tasting, food, storytelling. Sarah Werner will be there telling her story. She's the host of the Right Now podcast and Girl in Space. You can find both of them on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And Paige Sarda, Executive Director of Reach Literacy. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Laurie.
Thank you so much.